No, you guys, Auckland Railways project, yes?
Yes,
we are, that's right. Yeah, I mean, just a very, anyway, good morning to you, and it's good to look out the window and see that it's not raining this morning.
Exactly.
It's somewhat different to yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah, just a bit of history, really. I mean, some people may have actually heard of the group with the work they were doing out at the Four Clocks and various books, etc. But Michael and I are both local lads, really. I mean, I come originally from South Church, which is probably about 400 yards from where I'm sitting now, and Michael from Newton Cat, so very much local to the area. I think what brought us together, and we've known each other for 4 or 5 years now, was our very strong interest in local history.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, particularly industrial history, mining, the railways, which really transformed the region in which we live, I think, you know, certainly from the early decades of the 19th century. I think it's very easy to forget, really, that Durham is very much, as we sit around now, how much Durham really is a mining county. I mean, and the cradle of the railways, of course, with the Stockton and Darton Railway, which sort of came out of the Southwest Durham in 1825. And really, when the Stockton and Darton Railway first opened from Phoenix Pit up at Witton Park down to the River Tees, the county itself dramatically changed. I mean, Durham, really, if you look certainly at the early decades of the 19th century, was very agricultural, very sparsely populated as a county.
Okay.
Yeah, a few people only, really. All of a sudden, life changed. And the change was actually truly astounding, really, when that commercial railway came out of there. And the sort of amount of economic growth in the region was tremendous. Collieries sprang up everywhere. The reality of the situation is that once there was an economic navigable route to the River Tees for Southwest Durham Coal, life changed in Durham.
Okay, right.
So, I mean, the fact that there was tremendous amounts of coal reserves in Southwest Durham was not a secret. I mean, we've been mining coal here since 10th, 12th century. But the big problem was always getting it out. And the railway was the means by which it got out, and new settlements started to be established, and the little hamlets that were previous hamlets became thriving towns. I think two classic sort of examples that people might be able to identify are probably Shildon itself.
Yes.
I mean, Shildon, people think, has been around a long time. I mean, if you look at the 1820 census, I think Shildon had a population of about 180 people.
Yeah, correct.
A few houses on
the
top of the hill. Literally, top of the hill. And New Shildon, of course, in 1820 didn't even exist at all. You know, there was no New Shildon before the coming of the railways. I mean, there's no question that Shildon, and New Shildon in particular, is the world's first railway town. You know, it came about directly as a consequence of the coming of the railways.
Of course, it created a whole new set of jobs, didn't it?
Of course, all of a sudden, we've got mining, we've got railways, we've got quarrying for stone that they used, and life just changes dramatically. And quite a bit, I mean, the other area that I like citing as well, a little bit farther away, but it's probably equally as dramatic, is probably Crook. I mean, Crook is a town that really did not exist other than a few farms and a few hamlets back in 1830, and sort of 20, 30, 40 years later, you've got 11,000 people living in Crook with stuff all over the place. And it's a good point that you raise, because, I mean, the population was very much one of incomers in County Durham. I'm always interested to hear that people say to me and say to Michael all the time, well, my family's been in County Durham forever. That cannot be the case, because there were so few people living in the county before the coming of the railways. Virtually everybody, if they're doing a bit of genealogy, and people do a lot of that today, will find out that they're incomers in some way.
Yes.
And I mean incomers in some ways in the sense they might have come from the neighbouring counties like Yorkshire or Northumberland. But many came from farther afield, particularly from Scotland, from Wales, from Ireland, all attracted in. There's a lot of Celtic people came into the county, worked on the railways, worked in the mines, worked on the ironworks. I mean, my family came from two spots, really. My dad's family came from Arkengarthdale, where they were hard rock miners up into the sort of 1840s, 1850 in North Yorkshire. But of course, once the Durham Coalfield opened up, the attractions were here. And my mother's family were lead miners in Teesdale.
Okay.
And they came across the same sort of time.
Yeah.
And Michael, and he's very proud to say it, really some real Irish descent, haven't you?
We have, yes. Yeah.
You know, so we're looking at a county that really is a true mix of people, and it was traumatic. But the true interest, I think, for Michael, that's always pulled Michael and I together, was not just to talk about the wider interest of the impact on County Durham, but the impact on Bishop Auckland. We really wanted to tell the story of what mining and the coming of the railways actually meant to Bishop Auckland, our hometown. Which is far more dramatic, I think, than is generally realised.
Okay.
With its historic marketplace, its links with the Bishops of Durham, the castle and all the rest of it, That's not the normal sort of thing that sticks in
people. That's the type of thing now that's sticking people's minds.
Yeah.
The castle, the marketplace.
Yeah.
And that's as far as they get.
They don't get thinking.
They don't get beyond that.
No, they don't.
I mean, if there's ever, people, I'm not going to say something that's controversial here because it's actually factually based. If there's ever a town that came about or grew as a consequence of the railways and mining, it was Bishop Auckland. There's no question. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I keep going back to 1820, but I mean, there's about 1,800 people in Bishop before the railways arrived on the scene. Pretty much as you say, Chris, yourself, living around the marketplace, living around the Bongard area, that sort of thing. Mm. Even Newton Cat, where Michael comes from, was actually a separate settlement.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't linked to Bishop Auckland.
My late father was born on Newton Cat.
Ah, right, yes.
Newton Cat.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got little settlements like South Church, Newton Cat, distinct settlements on their own.
Yes.
So we've got this little town, and all of a sudden the coal come and the railways come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the railways didn't actually come to Bishop Auckland until about 1840, 15 years after the opening of the Stockton and Darton line, when, because of the coal reserves around Crook, which I've already touched upon, the Stockton and Darton Railway built the line from Shildon via Bishop Auckland up to Crook. And that really was when Bishop Auckland was linked into the railways.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the first station, and I say that, I use the expression loosely, the first thing that we would call a station, the first halt, the first stop, came to Bishop Auckland about 1843, the year afterwards. But what happened afterwards was dramatic, really. I mean, 15 years later, the whole town is surrounded by collieries.
Yes.
You know, there's 25, 30 collieries within, I use a loose word, spitting distance of the town centre of Bishop Auckland.
Yes.
There's a whole new industry. Bishop becomes not only a small, little rural town with some agricultural interests, but a real regional centre for the first time, and a real hub of that sort of region. And all of a sudden, by the 1850s, we've got something like 8,000 people living in Bishop. So the population, within a matter of a few decades, has multiplied by a factor of four. Directly as a consequence of the opening up of the mines and the coming of the railways to the town.
Yeah.
And as I say, a lot of people in Bishop Auckland will have those sort of Irish accent, yet Irish sort of things in the background and all the rest of it. So that really was the story that we've always wanted to tell, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what you're feeling, Chris. I don't think it's a story that's ever been...
I don't think it is, no. It hasn't been told.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
It hasn't been told at all.
So that really was our focus.
Right.
I mean, the thing is as well, I mean, the railways had a dramatic sort of impact on the town, really. I mean, if you look at the sort of early maps of Bishop Auckland, you'll see how much the railways actually dominated the town very quickly.
That's right, they did.
And the other event that happened, of course, was with the opening of the ironworks on Teesside, which occurred in the 1850s when they discovered the iron ore there. The Weardale limestone, of course, became of great demand.
Mm-hmm.
So we got thousands and thousands of tons being mined up in Weardale coming through Bishop Auckland.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we've got this vibrant hub, which is coal, it's mining, passenger links, you can go all over the place. And if you look at the sort of maps of the town, it very much gives you that impression. So that really was the driving force for us to sort of keep going forward. And I'll talk in the second session a bit about how we've actually taken that idea forward.
Lovely. Well, thank you. We'll play a little bit of Frank Sinatra now and we'll come back.